Okay, so we're going to go on really today, but just a couple of clarifications from yesterday, very briefly. First of all, I don't know if everyone heard a Yoni's point for the very end of Shir today, post Shir, but I thought it was a good point. The Gemara says that Kedei Lakof is 7 days' worth of hair, which, according to Yoni, is between 0.1 and 0.125 inches, around 3.75 millimeters. So for this, a guard two would be enough, and even a 1.5 would be enough. So we were saying before, if you hold of the chumrah, if you hold of the chumrah that you need kedei lakof, right, which is, like we said, the most machmir possible position. In other words, we're going to take the Chumrah of the Rambam that Misparim Ke'ein Tar is Kedei Lakof, and we're going to take the Chumrah of the Rosh that Misparim Ke'ein Tar is Aser, and we can combine them. So then you would not be able to cut your peyos lower than Kedei Lakof. And then the question is, how much is Kedei Lakof? So if based off of this analysis, a 2 would be enough, and even maybe a 1.5 would be enough. So that's why, practically speaking, if you go to your barber and you say, I want you to use a trimmer with a guard 2 in this area, use only a trimmer with a guard 2, then you're going to be safe. We just pointed out, again, I don't remember if I said in Shir or afterwards, but so just to clarify, Lamaisa, is you have to make sure that they understand you. Because a lot of times, if you just say, use a 2, don't use less than a 2, they think that means like a 2 over here and a 2 over here. But they'll still use a 0, meaning no guard, over here to make it crisp, around the area of your ears and your sideburns. And then that would be aser at the very least, according to the view of the Rosh, which we are choshesh for. So it's true that if you just say, I want nothing less than a 2, you would be okay. But that's risky because sometimes they might not understand what you mean and they might start using a 0 over here. So you have to pay close attention to what they're doing and make sure they don't start taking a 0 to crisp out the area on top of your ear and on the sideburns. Now, and if they did, that would certainly be aser according to the Rosh and Tosfos, which we're choshish for. Now, what about if you just say, I want you to only use scissors over here? So then, if you say that, you would be l'chora, you'd say, okay, I'm okay mimanafshach, I'm okay according to the Rambam that all misparayim is mutter, and I'm also okay according to the Rosh, who also says misparayim is mutter. But the answer is no, you're not safe, because he might do misparayim ke'ein tar, which is aser according to the Rosh. What does that mean? And it's dafka actually in these areas where you sometimes see them using misparayim ke'ein tar. That's where, whenever I've seen misparayim ke'ein tar, it's taka over there. Why would you do? Well, let's explain what I mean when I've seen misparayim ke'ein tar. So, as we mentioned yesterday, and we'll get back to this more in detail when we talk about shaving and hashchasas hazakan. But misparayim ke'ein tar means you could use misparayim to the effect of something either identical or similar to a tar. Now, for the Rambam, that basically means, as we mentioned yesterday, again, we're going to clarify this a little more. But for the Rambam, that means basically a close cut, anything less than Kedei Shiyakov. So we'll say anything less than 0.1 inches, right? So that means just taking a scissors, you could use a scissors in a regular way, but doing it really, really close to your face, that would be Misparayim Ke'ein Tar. But according to the Rosh, as we mentioned, that's Misparayim, that's not Misparayim Ke'ein Tar. What does Misparayim Ke'ein Tar mean? It means using the scissors in a way that you get mamish close. What does that mean? Because normally there's a guard, there's a bottom blade prevents getting too close, at least the thickness of the bottom blade. But let's say you start cutting like this. In other words, from the tip of the scissors, for example. So then you don't have the bottom blade catching it. And that's something that the barber might do over here, because he wants to get, again, that really nice crisp shot. So I can't say I've done extensive Mitzias research on this, but I asked Eduardo, if anybody remembers him, from the barbershop on Amsterdam Avenue. I don't know if he's still there. It's been a while since I've gotten a haircut over there. What? Clothes shop. Okay. But anyway, I asked Eduardo, is that something that you do? Because I remember Rabbi Schechter saying, I think Rabbi Schechter told me that that's the definition of Mishpahin Kentar, at least an example of Mishpahin Kentar, cutting by the tip of the scissors such that there's no guards. So Eduardo said, yeah, that's one of the things that we learn at the barber school. And you know, if you look at a professional barber, you know, they're snipping like they do really fast. And, you know, so if you're not careful and they're using a scissors, then in this area, they may do Mishpahin Kentar. So certainly, if they're using scissors, it would be aser according to the Chumrah of Rabbi Akiva Eger, namely that we take the Chumrah of both the Rosh and the Rambam. Certainly that could happen, because that's easy to happen. That just means, you know, a very close cut, even in the scissors being used normally, in a normal method. But even for the pure rush, if they use the tip of the scissors or something like that, that could happen. So therefore, though, you know, you're probably safe if you just say, use Misparayim over here, but I don't know if you're, I think that's risky business.
If I can interject, perhaps? When I get a haircut, I tell the barber, put a comb against my skin and trim on the other side of the comb.
Yeah, that would be okay, assuming if you want to follow the Machmir view of Rabbi Akiva Eger, that would be okay, assuming that the width of the comb is plus the width of, you know, the additional amount of the scissors are long enough to be considered Kadesh Lahakif, which probably is correct, because combs aren't that thin. Plus you have the additional, amount of the width of the bottom blade. So that's probably okay. I mean, I don't know. I haven't gotten a haircut from a guy for years and years, but I would imagine that back when I used to say just to use a guard with a trimmer with a two in this area. And they prefer that. It might not look as good, but it just saves them time. Because usually after they do the trimming normally with the guard on, then they'll try to make it look nicer. So, okay, I just saved them time and made it easier on them to give me the haircut. Okay, one other minor ha'ara. So, Rabbi...
Where's the source of seven days?
It's a Gemara. Nazir Lamates. Okay, so Rabbi Jachter gave me his sefer on this, I don't know, but whenever he came out, half a year ago or a year ago. So I didn't read the whole sefer then. I didn't read the whole sefer yet now either, because I can't find mine. But anyway, I looked at it quickly, because he said he'd like ha'ara. So I figured, okay, so I'll look at it quickly and have ha'ara. So I looked at it quickly, and this was my ha'ara that I told him. He wrote that you can extrapolate from the pictures of the Rav that he must have held that it need extend only to the bow. In other words, the Rav wasn't passing like the Shulchan Aruch, because he had it, you know, it was till here. I don't think that's a good raya, because maybe he held like his father, which Rabbi Jachter also quotes, that you don't have to hold a Rabbi Akiva Eger. You don't have to combine, you don't have to combine the Chumras of the Rosh and the Rambam, meaning to say that as long as the way Rabbi Jachter quotes from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is as long as the peos can be detected by the nails, they're not considered peos. They're not considered destroyed. So you can never tell that from a picture. So it could be that the Rav was held like the Shulchan Aruch, he was choshish for the Rivan, and he simply used a shaver or something like that that made sure that they were long enough to be detected by the fingernail, which isn't very long. Or it could also be some. We'll get to that a little later. So I don't think that's a good deal. So I emailed that to him, and he said, good point. So anyway, okay, fine. So what we're going to do today is go a little bit out of order, because I think this is a more logical order, is we're going to do the shear of the chiyuv, which is sif tes, and then we're going to go back to sif, hopefully sif gimel, sif dalid, hey, and vav today. In other words, yesterday we did aleph, beis, gimel. We're going to do tes, because we already started tes yesterday, and then we're going to go back to, like I said, dalid. So how much do you have to cut off to be chayef? So the Tosefta Makos Dal it says Hatolish Shtei Saros Chayim Shemakish. Pretty straightforward. The Rambam says something very interesting. A peyazu shemanichem b'tzayim lo nasnu bo chachanim shir b'shamanu mizkeinenu she'enu meniach pachos me'arbaim saros. We have a Masorah that the Isser is, you're in violation of the Isser if you haven't left 40 hairs. Some have the gears in around them of four, not 40. As you noted, that's the gears of the tour, though probably more likely the correct gears is 40, but we have two gears house in Rambam among Rishonim. Now, Stam, it's interesting, right? Rambam was okay with this being an oral tradition. In other words, even though there's clearly, the Gemara doesn't say this idea, there's no Makor Shas. If there was, it wouldn't just be a shamanim is kenenu, but the Rambam holds the Kabbalah, you know, relates a little bit to our Monday night Hashkafashi about the Rambam holding that in Kabbalah he nekabel. There are other places that the Rambam accepts earlier Kabbalos, even if he wasn't convinced by them, like his sheet about Shmita and Yovel. He thinks you should count the minyanim of Yovel, but he says the Kabbalah of Kabbalah not that way. He'll argue with Ka'onin about like, but not about necessarily a Kabbalah, which is a different issue anyway. So, but is there any source for this? Like where 40 hairs, mamish, it's just like halacha l'moshe b'Sinai, omitted from the Gemara. So the Taj Beit suggests a source. This is Oskof, a very interesting. He says that we learn it out from the sugya of Karchol, Karchol b'Rosham, and there it's 40. That's not quite 40. We'll see that the Rambam Paskins, it's a gris is 36. So how you get from 36 to 40, we'll talk about it in a second. But basically, we have a Makor, and the Makor is the Isser of Korcha. Now, the problem is, Mechtesi to learn from there. So, I don't know, maybe there's a Gzer Shava or Hekish or something else that we don't know of that's not recorded. But I think it's a little more Pashat than that. I don't think the Tashbit spells this out, but I think it's Mestaber. Maybe he does. I don't remember. The Pshat is like this. The Torah prohibits rounding the head, lo sakifu, which sounds like there's no hair, right? Sounds like there's no hair. Your makif, your mashvet dav, right? Like Rashi explains, you know, you make it that it's a straight line from here to here. You look like those monks. You know, that was what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah did. Now, if I follow the Tosefta Kipshuta, so I take off two hairs, I'm chayef. You can't even tell I took off two hairs, right? It's not the case that I was mashvet stav, right? I look exactly the same as I did before. But that's not what the Isser is. The Isser is lahakif. It's to round the corners of your head. It's to be mashvet stav. So maybe you would think that you're not chayv until there's zero hairs left. But the Rambam also thinks that's not correct. And here's where the Rambam turns to the Isser of Karcha. So there's a different opinions in the Sugya of Karcha, how much you have to take out to be chayv. And the Rambam Paskins like the opinion that it's the size of a gris. For now, we'll say 40 hairs. and those are visible hairs. And what's that Gemara basically telling you, especially in the Rambam, you say that, you know, it's visible, is that to be chayev for lo yikrachu karcha b'rosha, so what you need to do is pull out a significant wad of hair, a noticeable wad of hair. If I pull out one hair, it's not noticeable. So the shear is 40 hairs. That's considered a significant amount of hair. And nafgamina, you're now chayev for lo yikrachu karcha. When it comes to our iser, it's the reverse. If I haven't left a significant amount of hair, then I have rounded the heads of my hair. I've been makif, I've been mashva. And therefore, as long as there's no significant hair left, I'm chayv. So if I basically round the corners of my head, but I leave three or four dangling hairs here and there, so then, but I haven't left 40, I haven't left significant hair, and memela, I'm chayv. In other words, for the same, it makes sense that we would look to and turn to karcha to figure out what is a significant hair, amount of hair, such that I would then be potter. If you learn that tours
in the same place,
I don't think so. He asked that it have to be in the same place. Now. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily affect on being kasher, but being
different between parcha
and tzias or something there. It's meaning
to recognize
hair.
Yeah, so that's why it doesn't even have to say nireis here. The point is that if you're meniach pachos mimem sairos, so you haven't left significant hair. And that's just like when you take off mem sairos, you've taken off significant hair. Again, he still needs a tradition. He's not, I don't know if you would come up with this on your own, like he says, but it's rooted in something else that we know. It's not totally out of the blue or most of low time or the like. If you have the girsa of the tour of four, then you could say that the source of the Rambam is really the same as the Tosefta, because you could say the Tosefta is two hairs, and it's two hairs and two hairs, two hairs on each side, because it's really two isurim. You could be chayv malchus twice, so four is two, and two is the Tosefta. Maybe if you have the tour's girsa, you could say that that's the core, but 40, obviously, you're going to need to come from somewhere else. Now, okay, so that's what the Tashbates suggests. So what about the problem of 40? So he writes, Mashkasa Arbaim Saros, and in other words, it should have been really 36, because 36 hairs is the size of the gris. If you look, remember from the beginning in Hilchos Nida, when we talk about gris, you have those pictures of the hairs and the like, this option of whether it's 36 or 40. So he gives two options. He says, either we just round it up to 40 to have a nice, you know, round number, or alternatively, he says that if you square it out, it comes out to 40, and he explains why you would use the square, not the round. Okay, ayin shem. Either way, not everybody's so excited about this Rambam, and the Beis Yosef quotes that the smag is Tamel Rambam, because it's against the Tosefta. The Tosefta says 2, the Rambam says 40. What's going on? Beis Yosef says this is not a kasha at all. Why? Because they're both true. The Rambam is not lafuke the Tosefta, namely, if you remove two hairs from 40, then you get malchus. If you remove one hair, it would be chatish here. The point is, but if you remove two hairs from 50 or 80 or 100, then it's nothing. So the Tosefta and the Rambam are sort of addressing two different questions. The Tosefta is saying, how many hairs do you have to take off to be chayv malchus once you have 40? And that's how the Beis Yosef. Now, that the Beis Yosef in doing that does succeed in showing that there's no contradiction between the Tosefta and the Rambam. You could paskin like the Tosefta, and you could also paskin like the Rambam. That's true. But there's still a problem, because if the Rambam paskins like the Tosefta, then he should have to say that. In other words, even the Beis Yosef, it's not a steer to the Tosefta, but the Beis Yosef is assuming that we pass in like the Tosefta. Of course we pass in like the Tosefta. What do you argue with the Tosefta? Well, if we pass in like the Tosefta, the Rambam has to tell you the Chiyuv. Chiyuv is when you take two hairs off. And without saying that, I would think when you take one hair off at 40, you're going to be chayv for sure, right? So the Rambam, the Beis Yosef really only partially solve the question, but not, it leaves us with an obvious problem. The Beis Yossi really has not solved the problem. The Rambam is still implicitly against the Tosefta. So maybe if you follow my pshat in the Tashbates, so it's very good. Why? In other words, if I'm right, so the Rambam is passing against the Tosefta. How could that be? Nobody, there's no machlokas, right? Mechtesi to reject the Tosefta. You know, the Rambam loves Tosefta. So the answer is, because the Rambam held that we don't paskin like Tosefta. Well, where do you have arrived from that? The answer is from the Sugya of Karcha. There is an opinion in the Gemara by Karcha that what's the shear for Karcha? Say Cyrus. That's the view in the Tosefta. But we paskin like the opinion of Gris of 40 hairs. So therefore, from the Rambam's paskining 40 hairs, and that's the way paskins over there by Karcha, he's saying, oh, you see that at least the mask. We always paskin, we don't. When the Bavli or the implicit conclusions of the Bavli are against the Tosefta, then of course we don't pass them to the Tosefta, right? Like the Yerushalmi says, Ein halacha ketoseftos. So if you follow the approach of the Tashbates, then the answer is very meduyak, that the Rambam did in fact pass them against the Tosefta. And he knew, we know that from his conclusion by Karcha. And just one more, perhaps, you know, The Rambam, the Lashon of the Gemara, I'll take your question in a second, really does, in a sense, sound like the Rambam, as I alluded to before, and it addresses a different issue in the Rambam, this Malach, a little bit, right? So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Pa'as Rosho, Sof Rosho, Bezu Sof Rosho, Zamash Vitzdav, L'choyre Ozno Ulpadachta. So, if you look at the Beis Yosef, he quotes, okay, tries to figure out where is this? Like how much, what is this, right? Like we said, what is Chove Ozno Padafto? Does Rambam paskin this Gemara anywhere? No, right? I don't think so. Why not? Yes, I'm Shulchan Aruch paskin this. That it's Mashve. So the answer is the Rambam did paskin. This is what the Rambam understood. In other words, mashve rosho, mashve tzedav means you remove your hair from this area. And what's considered mashve tzedav, not leaving 40 hairs? So whereas according to the Smag, what this Gemara is telling me is, if you remove two hairs from this area, then you're chayav, right? And when the Gemara says you're mashve tzedav, it's lav dafka. Because you're not mashvet tzedav. You took off two hairs. Your tzedav, you look exactly the same as you did before you got your hair. You know, before you were over on his sister Raisa. But the Rambam saying no, mashvet tzedav is more literally you do it, and therefore what's the shear? 40 hairs. So perhaps that works out. Now I saw, not quite, but a similar. So again, just to summarize, according to the Beis Yosef, Mahalath, the Rambam is paskening like the Tosefta. He's just omitting it for some reason. According to what we're saying, the Rambam is rejecting the Tosefta. And you would actually be chayv on one once you've, you know, if you go from 40 to 39, that's enough to be chayv, a single hair. So there are other achronim, like the Karen Ora, a Nazir Mem on the Beis, that also assumes that way. But he has a different chap in getting out of the kasha from the Tosefta, maybe a much better chap than mine. He says, what's the pshat? I said the Rambam's not going against Tosefta because of the Tashbates and like a chor kacha. So he says, no, the Tosefta just mentions two Syros because it's talking about Yantif. Because there's a different halach over there. It's sort of mingled with a different point. And therefore, that's where the two hairs come from. So again, then you could say he's not passing against the Tosefta, just the Tosefta isn't relevant here. This Magnus understood the Tosefta. Alternatively, the Chassam Sofer, Shel Sechuvos, Yardea, Kufla Mites, says that the Rambam's shear over here is Midrabanan, because of Marasayan. There's Minatora, the shear is two Syros. But not the way the Smag understood it, that if you take off two hires, you're Chayat, but rather sort of the way, like I said, the Pashup Shat Nigmara is your Mashvet Stav. You leave nothing. And what does that mean? Two hairs. And the Rambam says, oh, Marasayan, huh, we'll make it 40. Now, there's, right, it's not the pshat in the Tosafta that you're, if you chotech shtei sairos, you're chayev. You're chayev if you're not meniach shtei sairos. The Rabbanan, you need 40. Okay. Lemaisa. Yes, but no, I don't know. He doesn't say Kabbalah. He said Shananu. So we have a tradition for the Sisid Rabbanan. There's a Sisid Rabbanan not recorded in Shas. Shamanu means Genenu, I don't think has to imply Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Now, L'maisa, yeah.
So what does Yishmo Yishmo Cyrus, the Ogham Shem, Avatar mean? If you have two Cyrus, take both of them.
Yeah. So two Cyrus remaining, you take them off, you're high for Yantif, you're high for this, you're high for Baltakif. No, the Kabbalah is, I'm just trying, the Tashbates, it's not my pshat, first of all, it's the Tashbates, but the Tashbates is trying to say that it's there's some type of source. Without the Kabbalah, we wouldn't know to tsushtel to lo yikra chukarcha. In other words, this vart isn't enough to come up with on our own without a Kabbalah, right? If the Rambam is saying, if I just had the Gemara Nazir, I didn't have this Kabbalah, I wouldn't have come up with my own. I wouldn't have said, oh, we should sushtel this din and the like. But what he's doing is that the Kabbalah is not, like I said, this totally out of the blue shear that doesn't appear anywhere else. It's actually shear that we have in hairs in a way that actually there's a svara to learn. Is a svara alone enough to be machayvet? No. Either that, or if you don't want to say it, this, you know, if you think it, if you don't want to say that, you want to say, okay, so the Tashbitz is giving up shot in the Kabbalah of the Zkenenu. Either way.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a Lishitascha, right? You said that last time. Or that was Yoni, actually. It was Yoni. Yeah. So, well, yes and no. I don't think that the Rambam would write it in such a way that you're only going to understand the meaning of the halacha if you happen to know what Komei Avodah Zarah did 3,500 years ago. And otherwise, if you're not aware of that, then that's not enough. That might be true what he's saying, but that's why the Mefarshim, like the Beis Yosef, the Tor, for example, all understood that what he's doing over here is actually telling you the time of the mitzvah. And I understand, but he told you the directions. He's not expecting, he's not saying, you know, you could only understand what I'm talking about if you happen to know what Komrim looked like. Yeah.
I guess this could be a question whether the Rambam is passing like the preceptor or not. I guess if he is passing like the preceptor, it seems strange that he presents it kind of for the opposite angle when the ogre is supposed to be involved. What's Pasur to pull out?
No, he's not coming from the Tosefta. He's talking about some sofer.
He's
not against the Tosefta. The Tosefta is telling you when you get Malkus, the Din D'Oraisa. And the Rambam is telling you there's a Din D'Rabbanan. The Din D'Rabbanan, because of Marasayan, you have to leave 40 hairs.
The Karen Ora.
The Karen Ora. But the Karen Ora is saying two hairs is Yantif. It's nothing to do with the Tosefta.
No, I know what I'm saying.
There's no shear of two Syros, according to Karen Ora, in this halacha. And the two Syros is mentioned in the context of the Tosefta only regarding Yantif.
Okay, so I guess the other side of the question is whether, even if he doesn't pass the Tosefta, even if it's against the Tosefta, but considering it's I think we mentioned the other day that Rambam is more focused on my Sefer, so it's been strange presenting it as.
Well, I mean, one is applying that. I mean, he tells you what. Pretty clear what the Rambam means, no? I mean, whether it's one or two, I don't know. That could be basically says otherwise, but I'm saying the Rambam tells you that if you haven't left, if you've removed so much hairs that you don't have 40 left, then that's the Yisr. I mean, that's what he says. Question, you may figure out, you know, where he's coming from, why he says it. And as I said, this whole discussion is not that lemaisa, because the basis of things, we don't pass them like this. Rambam, he doesn't even bring it down as a Yishomrim and Siftas. No, as we pointed out, perhaps we could sort of sometimes throw it in as a sniff for other things. And, you know, we saw Riki Yeager had such a tzad to throw it in as a sniff, though he didn't in the end accept that was enough. But perhaps it is something that maybe we do keep in our back pocket, but we don't really accept. Yes.
Just to clarify, the Chasam Sofer says that the Rambam is sheared the Rabbanan.
Right.
And everyone else's understanding is the Raisa.
Presumably.
You know, it says, I guess, lo nin vachacham sheared v'shamam is the name of that. We don't know what
they're doing. Right, they don't spell it out, but, you know, but if there's this, yeah, just because he didn't say anything else, it sounds like it's deraisa. In other words, there's not, you know, the context is this. I think the assumption of, certainly this was my assumption until I saw the Chasam Sofer, but I think it sort of, you get the impression that it's everybody's assumption, is that we're talking about deraisa. Chasam Sofer Siddish is no, that actually the Shaman in his Kenenu is a Dindarabama. Okay, good. So now we turn to the sugya of Echad Makif, Echad Nikif, the Gemara Makif Chaf on the base, which is a Siftal and a Shulchan Aruch as well. And there's a lot of things that we have to talk about, some of them local and some of them very Klaliistic. And then some questions that I don't have an answer to. So the Gemara says, Tani Tana Kamei, the Rav Chista. Now that could mean that it's not even aser, like eating tamri be'arvila, or it could mean you shouldn't get malchus, but of course we understand why it's aser to be a nikaf. That's answer number one. Rav Amar makif la'atzma v'devei kol. Answer two. Rav Ashi Omer, the Messiah of Devei HaKol, that's answer three. So, according to the first answer, so we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Lav Shein Bo Malchus, Loken Alav. So, there's a chiddush here, because who says there's even a lav? The Pasuk says, Lo Sakifu. So who says that there's a lav? So what the Gemara's answer is assuming two things. Number one, that we accept from Yehuda, but number two is that there's a lav to be nikah. And that sort of begs the question, well, how do we know that exactly? The Pasuk says lo sakifu. Maybe there's only an isser to be makif. Who says there's an isser at all to be nikah? And the Rivan over here has a couple of possibilities how we might know that from the psukim, either because it's Lashon Rabim, or Sakifu, which indicates, well, that's the second one. The first one is Lo Sakifu, the I guess the Pashtei Dekra indicates as well, Lo Sanichu Lahakif. And the second option is because it's Lashon Rabim, because it's Lo Sakifu, two people. So that teaches me the Makif and the Nikaf.
It also says
Oh, Rosh Echem would imply Nikaf as well?
Your head. If you're talking to the Makif, that's Rosh not his head. Uh-huh. No, it would be Rosham or whatever it would be. Rosham is your head.
Good. Excellent. Then we have the second answer, Rava, Makif La'atzma Chayv Shtayim. So that's also a Chiddush. It assumes the Chiddush that there's an Isser to be Nikaf. And B, that there's a chiddush that's considered a maisa as well. In other words, that there's a maisa makif and a maisa nikif here. Okay, and the third answer, that Alidei Acherim. So there, the Chiddush basically is that we don't say Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. And we'll talk about that in terms of other places in Shas, where we do seem to say Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish, an issue that the Rishonim address. According to the third answer, there is the possibility, as opposed to the first two answers, there's a possibility of there not being an Isser Nikaf, as opposed to the first answers, which assume that there is. And that sort of raises an interesting question. Do the answers hold of each other? In other words, maybe there's no machlokas here. Three different kemtas, three different havanos, no machlokas. It's interesting, the Rambam quotes the answer of Ravashi. Take a look at the Gilyan Marshab on Sif Dalet. So he says, this is very strange. Why did the Rambam cite the Din of Rav as well? Obviously, you're not going to cite Rebbe Yehuda. But why didn't he paskin? Why didn't he also mention that you're chashtayim if you are makif la'atzma? So obviously, the Gilyan Marsha understood that there's no machlokas here. And there are all three answers. Certainly, the last two are both equally correct, just two hechitimses. It may be that the Rambam held that it is a machlokas. Rav Ashi paskins, and Ernie's paskining like Rav Ashi kabasra, and we will see perhaps a further evidence of that idea in just a moment. If we take a look at the Rambam, Yud Beis Aleph.
He says.
So here we have the Rambam, like we said, paskening like Rav Ashi. And the Ravid writes over here, Amar Avram, Afal Pish Enoloka, Kevan Shemidaito Asa Over Malaz. So even though you're passive, totally passive, you're not even Misayaya, but you're over on the lot. So the Ravid clearly holds that even Rav Ashi accepts the Chiddush of answers one and two, the Chiddush, the presumption of answers one and two, that there's such a thing as a lav of Nikath. Unclear. Does the Rambam agree or disagree? Is the Rambam agreeing with the Ravid? He just thinks that there's no Malkus because it's Amo Maisa, but of course you're over on the love. That's certainly a possible read, or not. Or no, actually thinks there's no love. Take a look at the Kesef Mishnah. He is inclined to assume that the Rambam disagrees. The Yoser Nerali, Delo Shayach Lomar Shu Over Belav. Kevin Delo Avid Maisa Klau. Dafili Marale Lahakif Lo Peas Rosho and Shaliach Lavera. No love. It's strange. In the Beis Yosef, he took an about face. He takes for granted, it's Pashat, that it's a love, or at least Aser. But at least in the Kesef Mishnah, he held this way. Now, 1 second, but clearly the first two answers of the Gemara hold that there is such a love. So perhaps, I don't really know, but perhaps the Kesef Mishnah at least sort of was bothered by the Kasha of the Gilyan Marsha. Why didn't the Rambam paskin like Rava? If Rava is equally true, we need to know that Chiddush. Must be that he thought Rava was wrong. Oh, why is Rava wrong? Because Rava assumes that there's a passive isser. And maybe the Rambam disagrees. There is no such isser. There's no such isser. In other words, Rav Ashi didn't want to make this chiddush that Rava was assuming, that the isser is passive as well. So how come you're loka if it's makif and nikif, right? Echad makif, echad nikif. Why are you loka? So what would come out according to this is that the Rambam is telling you a very fascinating thing. The Rambam is saying, Echad HaMakif, Echad HaNikif is not like the Raifat Dot, that there's two Isurim, an Isur and a Makif and an Isur and a Nikif. Rather, the Nikif is Chayef Alt Makif when he's Messiah. So if you are Messiah, then you're Loika. What are you Loika Alt? Makif. Because here it's Messiah Yesh Bo Mamish. We'll talk about again how much Sila do you need. Do you need a strong Sila? But that's the point. There's not two lavin here. The Ravid and possibly the Rambam are l'shitasam in the Minyan HaMitzvos. If you look at the Minyan HaMitzvos, the very beginning of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, where he goes through all 613 mitzvos, so lav mem gimel is shalo lahakif pas rosh kikomre avodah zarah. There too, by the way, right? You know, you see how important the Talmud is that he even included it in the, you know, this very concise minyan. It's always interesting, but not for now, to compare the way Yisurim are quoted in the different versions of the minyan of the Rambam. But anyway, and then he says Shalal Hashchis kol zakan k'ovde avodah zarah shenemar v'los hashchis es basakan. The Ravid over there argues, you don't have that many Ravids on the minyan, but he says Amar Avram lav lemakif v'lav lenikaf av l'mashchis v'lav lenishchas. The Ravid is l'shitaso, the same asaga basically that the Ravid is having over here. On with the Talif, he's having over there in the Minyan Mitzvos. And what he's doing is he's saying, no, there's actually two Yisurim here. There's a Lav and a Makif, a Lav and a Nikaf. Is it Buchach that the Rambam is disagreeing? Like we said, no, you could read the Rambam as in Yud Beis Aleph is saying there's just no Malkus, but it's still a Lav. You could read this Rambam as being kolel the lav and the makif and lav and the nikif, he thinks it should just be counted as one mitzvah, not two. But at the very least, we have over here a little bit of a debate, a possible debate, at least according to the Kesef Mishnah, about this question. A possible nafgamina is certainly, in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that it's aser to ask a guy to do it, certainly not to ask a Jew. Again, yesh ladun, is it nisa d'oraisa or not to ask a guy to cut your peos, assuming you're totally passive. According to the Ravid, it's nisa d'oraisa. According to the Rambam, possibly not. Okay. I mean, it'd still be Amir Nachri, but not necessarily Nisr Deraisa. Could be. Interesting nafkamina. The Darkei Tshuva, Sifkat and Vav, talks about a chola. So chola yesh bo sakana that needs to get their head shaved. So then yesh bo sakana. Well, let's say it's a chola sheim bo sakana, but for whatever reason, they want the treatment of this particular choli require shaving your head, including your payos, or covet a brios issue. So if you learn like the Rambam, then maybe we could say makom covet a brios lo gazru, but makom choli, you know, or makel from mira lenachri. Just make sure you're not misayaya. Whereas, if you learn like the Ravid, then we're dealing with an Issur D'oraisa. It's going to be much more hard to be makel. You could start saying, this brings us back to last year's sugya. We know that makom kavod abrios for makel. So are we makel for drabanan or makel for d'oraisa shei maltase if it's a lav? So if you remember from last year, there was a big discussion. When the Gemara is mechalek between Shev al Tassel and Vasei, is that really mitzvah saseh versus lo saseh, or is it active versus passive? So if you take the approach that it's active versus passive, the more literal reading of the Gemara, as we saw, it's probably machlokas rishonim. But if you read that Gemara more literally, so you could say, oh, well, maybe then even according to Ravid, we could be making the makom kavod abrios, because even you're allowed to do an iser de oraisa b'shev altasa b'makom kavod abrios. According to Ravid, Rambam, it's an iser de Rambam, it's pashut smutter, b'makom kavod abrios, but maybe even according to Ravid, this particular Dark Yeshuva is not so excited about that, because he says, yeah, but even if you accept that, the Taz says it's like impossible not to be Messiah. Maybe there's a way to not be Messiah. Maybe we'll use anesthesia. So I'll tell you, this Shiloh came up to me. I'm going to tell you the Shiloh a little bit later, but it's a good story. Good story. In other words, there is a way to perhaps avoid a CUA. Could be, on a practical level, most of the time, you could solve the problem anyway, because, you know, maybe you could use, even if you needed to be very close, you could use a shaver. So that's Ms. Brian Kantar. I throw in the shita of the Rambam, and Ms. Brian Kantar is mutter on payas. And if so, you know, I don't know what the procedures that they needed, but you could probably, you know, you could get a very close shave with a shaver, and so you could, you know, almost get rid of your payas 100%, according to the Rambam's shita. And then throwing in everything else, maybe we would be makel if you had such a shaila. Yeah.
Just the Pesach Mishnah, when Akatar puts an alternative verse on the Rivet.
Yeah.
It says, Lav Lamachit below the Mishnah. Lav Lamachit is below the Mishnah.
Right. So,
but you're just in the purush of what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, very good, very good. So it's Kesef Mishnah L'shitaso. Excellent. Very interesting. You know, again, interesting sort of change from the Kesef Mishnah to the Beis Yosef. Okay.
Question: what kind of kvod abrius would there be? If I can see the medical procedure, but what kind of kvod abrius would be requiring shaving off the payas?
Somebody goes ahead and let's say they're losing their hair because they're taking chemotherapy, but there's like blotches of hair here and there, as is never sometimes happens. So they feel like they would look a lot more normal if they just shaved their head. Like lots of people have shaved their head, but having like a little bit of hair here and a little bit of hair there, they look much worse. So that could be a case of kavod abrios.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. There's always a case of kavod abrios, you know. You don't usually predict them until they happen and the person's asking you the shaila, but okay. Now, the Beis Yosef says something very interesting here in terms of figuring out the gader of this lav. So the Beis Yosef quotes in the Muke Yosef, Sof Makos, Yesh Mestapkim Im Yisrael Mozhar Lahakif La'akum L'das Rav Huna Dumya Dekatan. So what is the tzad to aser? In other words, we know that according to Rav Huna, we're sort of jumping ahead of ourselves a little bit, but according to Rav Huna, a man cannot be makif or schayev if he's makif a katan. Now katan is mechayev mitzos. Says in Mukhe Yosef, well, you know, once I know that you could be chayev for being makif someone who is not muzhar, in this case, machmas katnuso. So maybe it should be aser to, you know, let's say I'm a Jewish barber and a guy comes in and he says, I know a Jewish barber, right? I want a razor cut over here. Are you allowed to get it to him? So just like you can't give a katan, maybe you can't give a guy or an isha. Okay. Maybe women usually have longer hair, but a guy, it's certainly a shy, huh? So that's a suffix.
It says Rosh Chem.
Okay. We'll get there. Tosfos. So you're suggesting that it would be usher for a woman, mutter for a guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Get there. Very nice. Okay. So what did he understand? Now, he's understanding, according to Rav Huna, there's basically two isurim, right? There's the isur of the makif and there's the isur of the nikaf. And therefore, it's shayach to be chayev for makif even when the nikaf is in muzar, right? It's not the identical question of the Ravid, but it's a related question of the Ravid. We're trying to figure out to what degree are we talking about one lav? We talk about two lavim. If we're talking about two lavim, are they sort of independent of each other, or are they related to each other? Once you go ahead, the Nehukei Yosef is saying, and say, well, you could be chai for katan. So maybe what do we see? There's two lavim. There's an iser of a makif and iser for nikaf. The iser for nikaf is obviously only stated for Jewish males, but maybe the iser for the makif has nothing to do with that. So therefore, it's aser to be makif and inisha, aser to be makif a guy. And again, this is especially a very good tzad if you learn like the Ravid. And in fact, if you look up that in Nehukei Yosef, it's a little meduyik this way, because right before that point, this part isn't quoted by the Beis Yosef, but like the previous line over there, it's on Makos Daf Dalad Medalaf Davirif. So he makes that point. He says, we learn like the Ravid. He first quotes the others. He says, there are those, yesh, shayu matirin lahakif, leish, alideh v'kochavim, right? So there are those who say, like, let's call it the Kesef Mishnah, that as long as you are not misayaya in any way, so there's no iser. And then he says, no, we don't hold that way, because we all like the Ravid. And then he says, ah, well, if that's the case, so then maybe we should be mistopic if, you know, once we split these lavin, there's really two lavin, there's a makif and a nikif. So, yesh l'stopik, pedastrif huna, maybe, it's like the two lavin are freed from each other, they're untethered. You know, the lav, and we look at the person, and therefore, it's an iser to be makif. So the Rush, also quoted by the Beis Yosef, disagrees with this Nehukei Yosef. The Rush is not a safek. It says, Pashat, you can't learn from Katan to Gai / Isha. Why? Very simple. A Katan is Asi Lechlal Lav. In a couple of years, hang on, he's going to be Chayev. So that's why Rav Huna could say that you're Chayev if you're not Katan. But not the Isha, at least not in the olden days, not the guy, unless he converts, he's a new person, so fine. Good, very good chiluk.
A question, in terms of the learning minyan or mitzvos, can you learn two entirely separate lavim from one verb?
I don't know if the Ravid cared much in this context about minyan.
Or forgetting about the minyan, but just can you learn two entirely separate lavim?
Why not? There's a drasha. It says, Lo Sakifu, Lashon Rabim, or whatever your drasha is to learn Makif Nikif. So that drasha teaches me two lavim. If you want to call it Tznaim Shem Achas, you can, but fundamentally it's two lavim. That's what the Ravid saying, right? Achad l'makif, achad l'nikif.
Well, no, you can say the Easter of Baal Takif applies to both the Makif and the Nikif, but it's still one lav. You can say that.
Ravid says it's a lav l'makif and a lav l'nikif. He's being masig.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't really matter. In other words, the same question exists even if you want to, like I said, you want to call it, you know, Shnaim Shemachas. The point is that once we're splitting them, so then maybe we should untether them, basically. Now, what's interesting is, even though there are only two views cited in the Beis Yosef, there's a third position, as the Gra points out, of Tosfos. This is Tosfos Nazir. At that long Tosfos, it's Dibur HaMaschil Ravada. At the end, he makes this point, and also Tosfos and Shvuos. In Tosfos and Nazir, he's a little mesupik, and in Tosfos and Shvuos, he is definitive that we don't, that it's aser to, like Moshe was machavin to, aser to give a, to be makif the Isha, but mutter to do the guy, right? He asks, in terms of Huna, Deloy Makish, so Vidochak Lachalik, so he asks the Kasha, then he says the Rush's possibility. He says, Vidochak, doesn't say why. Dochak Lachalik, Mishim Dakata Nasi Lachalchiev. Dahashta, me a love Barchiuvahu. Right now, he's not a Barchiuv. So there's no difference between the Isha and the Kata. Vitamid Ravuna, Lo Tali Bahachi, Alamishum, Delo makish makif lenikif. So he concludes that tzachin b'makif sa'isha imachayev, and as he said, Tosfos Shvuos Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, at the end over there writes that it's usur for a man to be makif a woman. And it looks like from the gra, if you look the way he presents it with the aval, it sort of sounds to me like that's actually the hachra of the gra. So halach l'maisa, there are three views, right? We have the position of the rash, it's mutter to be makif an ish and a guy. We have the position of the nemuke yosef, that maybe it's usur to do both. And then we have the position of tosin shvuos, who's machalek, usur for an isha, mutter for a guy. If we assume like the gra that we paskin, seems like, you know, you're pretty safe being a barber, because at least assuming you're not Jewish men, right? But it's pretty safe to be a barber because the Rama really sounds like Mikra Din, he follows the Rush. So he cites the Nemuke Yosef Safik, but it sounds like the Mikra Din is like the Rush, and the Gra is like Tosfos, so usually women don't have such short haircuts that you can have that problem. But you know, and it's interesting. Think about what's in the Kutis Machlokas here. We're out of time. But you could be that they're arguing, like I was saying before, about the degree to which these lavim are linked and tethered. Could be that they're arguing about a different question we see in other places in the Rishonim, the nature of a katan. To what degree is a katan mufka from mitzvos or the like? Tosfos thought that Asili De Chiyav is irrelevant because now he's totally mufka. There's no difference between him and the woman. Rosh thought there is a chiluk. Anyway, something to think about.
No one's medayik from the Rosh Chem? No one pays attention to that at all?
Not that I remember. Yes.
Oh well.
Well, it doesn't mean. Makom in Yichulcha. Yeah. I think that it's certainly... It doesn't have to. He happens to say that, first of all. But it's also mistaber that once you're going to go ahead and say that the Isser, you know, it's really two separate Isurim, on the Makif and on the Nikaf, so then I could say, okay, so maybe the separate Isser of Makif is true independent of who the Nikaf is. And therefore, even though there's no Isser on the Nikaf for an Isha, but there might be an Isser of Makif on the Isha. I mean, on the Ish, upon the Isha.
I'm saying that even if there were no
So then you might more be inclined, let's say, if you take the approach of the Rambam, so there's only an Isser of a Makif. Yes, but there I think you'd be much more inclined to try to make it, unify it as one, and say the reason why you chai for a katan is asa l'day chiyuv, as opposed to trying to...
That we care at all who the Nikaf is. If there's only a lav on the Nikaf, who cares who the Nikaf is?
Yeah, but then, so you could say, I guess you're right. That's sort of the other extreme. Yeah, fine. I think that's right. I agree. Fine. All right, so we're a little behind schedule. We'll see. I wanted to really work on a very, very fascinating question of Makif Nikaf, of Misayaya, which comes out from here. Everybody who's learned Hilchos Nida and Hilchos Shabbos has already seen it, but I think there's a lot of interesting points that you come from starting at this sugya as opposed to like starting in Gozes and or Nida going the other direction. So we're going to work on that. So everyone should look. If you want, there's a fascinating Tosefta in Makos, which I think is, it's Gimel, I think Zion and Ches. I could put it in the chat right now, the Tosefta. And this, I think, you have to figure out how to deal with the Tosefta. Is this Tosefta, I'm going to put in a chat right now, does this show that that the Taz is right and the Shach is wrong? And that's a big issue because the Minag Pashut is like the Minag Pashut's like the Taz. I mean, like the Shach. So that's something that you guys need to work on. So, you know, maybe you'll be working on that the whole day tomorrow, and then we won't be behind anymore. the question of the Taz and the Shach, which is you saw is more or less two deus in the Ritva over here, is the following Shaila. This idea of Misayaya over here, where we say you're chayev, is that local? In which case, it's going to be mutter to ask the, not going to be necessary to rice at the very least, to have the guy cut her fingernails. Or is it global? Do we learn from here to call it Tarkua that Misayaya, if it's a Siyu Agadol, is Yesh Bo Mamish? In which case, asking the guy to cut her fingernails, for example, would be already a Doraisa Shaila. And so that's one place where it comes up. That's one of the most Lamaisa places where it comes up. Let's say a woman gets to the mikvah and she has a hanging nail, or she forgot to cut one nail. Like,
this is on Shabbos?
On Shabbos. That's one of the, there are a lot of places where this comes up Lamaisa, but that's one of the most common ones. So it's two deus in the Ritva and Makos, more or less. The Taz and one Ams in the Ritva isn't exactly the same, but it comes out very similar. Is there evidence in the Tosefta against this? So that's what you should look at and let me know.
That Makos is the Taz and the Shach, could that also be like the Sayaya is the Makos? Or if it's there's a lab on the Nika.
That's interesting. You're suggesting the following. If you learn like the Rambam that the lab on the Nika is really Makos, so then what?
Meaning, like, when the Taz says, oh, Misayaya should be able to have a chayav and should be able to have a chayav, so he assumes that Misayaya, like, turns it into the act of partial on the other side. And Shach says, no, it's just that when there's a lav on the nikah already, we're trying to avoid lav shem and maisa. We just need to be sorry if the maisa somehow, so Misayaya is enough to get you there.
I hear that. I don't know if it's mochrach. Very good. Okay.
Do you have time for a quick conversation now, or you have to stop?
Could you call me on the phone in 15 or 20 minutes?
I will try.
Okay.
Thank you.
Call. Bye.